Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary. I'm Mary Ann Jepson. Thanks for joining us today. In Crossing the Threshold of Hope, Pope St. John Paul II is quoted as saying, "Original sin is not only the violation of a positive command of God, but also, and above all, a violation of the will of God as expressed in that command. Original sin attempts, then, to abolish fatherhood, destroying its rays which permeate the created world, placing in doubt the truth about God, who is love, and leaving man with only a sense of the master-slave relationship." I was pondering this quote recently when I realized how through the ages, original sin has attempted to destroy the rays of God the Father, which permeated the created world and placed in doubt the truth about God, who is love, but also how sin can destroy the rays of human fatherhood and place in doubt any sense of their real love for their children. Since as a therapist I work with the wounded, often those with father wounds, this is something that is very real and extremely palpable in many people's lives. How crucially important it is, then, for fathers to get it right, to have a strikingly clear vision of their God-given role from the moment their children are conceived. It's a given, because of original sin, that there will be troubles in the vocation of fatherhood. John 6:13 tells us as much. It's quoted here, "I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." My guest today is Randy Hain. He's the president of Servium Partners, consultant, executive coach, author, and speaker, who enlisted a stellar group of Catholic fathers to write chapters for his book entitled Special Children, Blessed Fathers, Encouragement for Fathers of Children with Special Needs. While this book is written largely for fathers with special needs children, I think the wisdom contained in it cuts across all barriers of fatherhood. I'm looking forward to having Randy on here with me because I want to hear what he has to say. Obviously, Randy, welcome. It's so great to have you with me. Does this book, do you think, really cut across all fatherhood, and that even though it's really written about special children and blessed fathers, that the wisdom that's contained in here really is something that all fathers can find helpful?
I really do, Mary Ann, and thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
It's always great to speak with you.
Yes.
I do think the book cuts across a lot of different areas, fatherhood for sure, although I must tell you that it's really been the mothers and family members and grandparents and friends of families with special needs children who have been just as vocal, because they felt like the book really helped them have a deeper understanding of the challenges in these families and the challenges that dads face.
Yeah, I think so. I think the reason, you know, you have, as a parent of a special needs child, a special cross to carry. And when I say that there's wisdom there for all fathers, I certainly don't mean to make less of the cross that you carry as a special needs father or any of the other ones in this book, because it truly is about those crosses. But I think that always in the suffering, there's great wisdom to be learned. I think that's more what I'm saying by this. There's great wisdom that if fathers of all sorts could come to your book, they would find applicable messages here and really draw them closer to Christ in the process and thereby becoming a better father. So, Randy, I love the book, and I love how you have every other chapter, you've really kind of inserted your own story and the lessons learned. So tell us, why really did you write this book?
Well, you know, it's I wrote a blog post about this about 2 months ago, and I reflected on obeying God's will mm-hmm. and the fruit that comes from it. So I'll tell you a quick funny story, mm-hmm. which has had a profound impact on me. last fall, I had just turned in the manuscript for my sixth book, Joyful Witness, and I turned it in, and I'd written two books last year. The one before that was Journey to Heaven, A Roadmap for Catholic Men, and I was, quite frankly, wiped out. I'd gone overboard, as busy as I am. I wrote two books in 1 year, so I went to Eucharistic Adoration for my normal Wednesday morning hour, and I just wanted peace. I wanted to relax. I wanted just to be in the presence and just relax. And as I was in the chapel trying to clear my mind, all I could think about was helping these dads, helping fathers with special needs children. And as I was in there trying to not think about that, that's all I could think about. Mm-hmm. So I got out, sat in my car for a minute, and I just said, Lord, clearly you're trying to tell me something. I'm exhausted. I feel frail. I don't think I have a lot of energy for whatever it is you're asking me to do. And I think I even said, are you sure it's me? And I just sat there, and I was convinced that the Lord wanted me to do something. And I don't have those kinds of encounters that often, but it felt powerful. So I'm in the car, and I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I don't know how it's going to get done. I don't feel like I've got the capacity for anything new, but I'll be obedient. Mm-hmm. So I thought about it that day, and I said, I think I'll write a book on this topic. And again, no energy for it, but I just decided to be trusting. So three things happened over the course of a week that made this book possible. One, I called my publisher, Mayus Road, and I said, guys, I'm thinking about a book idea on this topic. What do you think? And Marianne probably was thinking in the back of my mind, I hope they say no. but they said yes, and we love it, and let's do it. And I said, okay, we'll check that box. And then the second thing that happened was I reached out to the men you referenced, Joseph Pierce, Kevin Lowry, Greg Willits, these wonderful Catholic men who are authors who also have special needs children. And each one of them immediately said, we'd love to be part of this project. No hesitation, zero hesitation. So I immediately had this great resource of eight or nine fathers I respect who live out their faith every day, who raise great children and have special needs children. So I said, wow, that's a great resource. So the third thing that happened was I was thinking about something to do with this book that would be special, and I talked to the woman who runs the special needs ministry in our parish, and she said, have you ever heard of the National Catholic Partnership on Disability? And I had never heard of it. So I found them online. I found the executive director, whose name is Jan Benton, and I reached out to her out of the blue, and I said, Jan, my name is Randy Hain. I know you don't know me, but I'm going to write a book on inspiring fathers with special needs children, and I want to donate all of my royalties to you.
Wow.
And you could have heard crickets chirping. And I said, Jan, I'm serious. She's like, why would you do that? I said, I don't even know why I'm calling you, but will you accept it?
Yes.
All that happens in 5 days, Marianne. Uh-huh. And then what happened after it was, quite frankly, the easiest book I've ever written, because I practiced obedience, and what came out of it was something I think very helpful. And by the way, Jan and I have become good friends. So
that's awesome.
That's the story about that's how it came. That's how it came to
me. Like you mentioned, you have so many wonderful authors in this book. So I imagine that you didn't have to shoulder the entire burden of pumping out, 200 some pages. They helped. Clearly, you interjected along the way, but I guess that maybe lightened the load a little bit, right?
Well, sure. And, I had to certainly, cast the vision for the book and guide them on, where I wanted to go with it. But my main advice to them was speak from the heart, talk about, sort of the intersection of faith and parenting in your home, and talk about what being a father of a special needs child means to you and why it's special. So I gave them those kind of clear overarching ideas, but then I just said, what you give me is what you give me. And everything that's in the book from them is unedited. It's just, this is what they said. So I love the rawness of it, the eclectic nature of the stories, but what came out of it is just real life. That's what many of the parents have said. Wow, this is my life. Mm-hmm. So we didn't try to over-edit it into some beautiful, wonderful, happy story. It's just real life with a great happy ending.
Yeah, let's talk about your story, Randy. I know that with yours, I think it wasn't that immediately when your son was born that you knew that he was special needs. It kind of dawned on you, right, as he got a little bit older. Is that right?
Yes. Alex was not speaking and walking at the appropriate developmental milestone ages that you typically have. So my wife and I had a suspicion, but as any parent will tell you of a special needs child, when you get the diagnosis, there's no playbook that prepares you for it. There's no, you know, sort of here's what to expect. We just were numb for, quite frankly, several hours. And then we just said, you know, it's not about us. It's about Alex. Let's get him the help that he needed. But, you know, as we may talk about later in the show, it's really what happened when I received that diagnosis that touched me deeply, that ultimately led to my family and I coming into the Catholic Church. And I think it was the diagnosis that was the catalyst for that.
Yeah. And I guess that's the reason why I asked that question was it's different for each family, because some families immediately know the first moment they see their child, or even some know when the child is still in the womb that this child is going to be special needs. So the point of real confrontation is when you receive that message, and then you have to go through the process of acceptance. There can be denial, which is something that is common with such sort of thing. There's grief of whatever sort, I'm sure, but then ultimately you have to come to the point of acceptance. Tell us a bit more about your story then and how all of that happened.
Well, you know, my wife and I at the time did not have any faith in our lives. I was a Southern Baptist as a young man, but had no faith at the time of Alex's birth when I was 32. And my wife had been baptized Catholic, never confirmed, so she really was not, had no faith at all. So we didn't have a prayer life. We couldn't turn to God. We had really no friends we could talk to about it, because we were in the area, a little new to the area that we lived in. So it was a lonely time. But as I said, we did turn to each other, and I think it really strengthened our marriage to together decide to give Alex what he needed. But it was really, as you probably have had men on your show, and this has probably come up before, men have a tendency to have walls around their hearts. In my experience, I've seen it. I dealt with that, still deal with that sometimes. And I think Alex's diagnosis pierced that wall in a way that had never been pierced before. And he got to me, and he still gets to me. I get very emotional about it, because I think that was what really forced me to open up. And as the years went by and Alex was getting the help he needed through therapists and medications and all of that, I started to recognize as I got closer to 40 that, you know, I'm missing something in my life that's profound. I don't know what it is. I couldn't put a name to it, but I knew I was missing something despite business success, and my family was thriving. We have another son named Ryan, is doing very well. He's 14. But I just felt like I was missing something. And I think ultimately his diagnosis led to what was a very profound conversion to Christ for me in 2005. And we came into the Catholic Church as a family in 2006.
And, you know, Randy, just what you said there, I think, is where I see that this book can cut across. It's your story and your particular cross. But every father that I know has some sort of cross through their children. I don't think I know. The cross is going to come to all of us in some form in life. But how often it is that fathers or mothers find the cross and their own point of conversion through their children. You know, prior to having children, you can live the happy life. You know, you can live for yourself. You can have fun. You can come and go as you please. You know, well, I should say prior to marriage, really, but that's a life changer as well. But once you have children, you are just so confronted with just this primal love that you've never known before. If that isn't God in the soul speaking, and you aren't aware of it at that very moment of birth, or maybe you are to some extent, then he can bring you a little closer to his wounds by some sort of wound in your child, I think. And to be taken to your knees through that wound and to realize that you have nothing but Christ in that moment, or to set you on that journey to finding him, is just so profound. So that's why I think that this book does cut across. So Your conversion story is certainly a wonderful one. So it took you from that point then of knowing that, I guess, you really needed God to how did it go from there?
Well, I think just this growing awareness over the years after Alex's conversion that I didn't have all the answers, that despite my overt self-confidence and mm-hmm. willingness to make decisions on my own, that I really was missing something. And I just knew that my life was going astray, and I just felt I needed something. But it's so odd to me now as I look back that I never called what I needed God. I never said I needed God. I just said I was missing something. What is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But it was really in 2005 after a number of conversations my wife and I had that and she was the one who first said I'd like to look into the Catholic Church because she was missing something as well, and she reconnected to some old family friends and family who were Catholic, and mm-hmm. she was looking at the church and asked me if I would look into it with her. And all that summer of 05, I spent really just in a cerebral exercise of examining the church, studying the church, trying to figure it out, trying to make sure it was the right fit. But it wasn't really until the first Mass we attended in the fall of 05 that I completely surrendered. But I go back to that diagnosis with Alex, and I just remember how I felt then, and that feeling came to the sort of the forefront again, and I surrendered and put Christ first, family second, and work third. And it's the first time I never even thought of that. And that from that moment on, it's been an integrated life serving Christ. Mm-hmm. But I want to go to something you said, Marianne, mm-hmm. about this idea of crosses and burdens. Mm-hmm. The idea of the book that's so powerful, I think, is that all the men, all the people, women, priests, parents, everybody's interviewed in the book, talks about these children not as burdens but as blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the yep. challenges that I'm trying to accomplish in the book, and I hope it accomplishes, is when men read this or anybody reads it, start to see our children not as burdens or challenges or weights around our necks because of all the expense
yeah.
or the challenges, because those are real human things. We all feel it, even if we don't want to acknowledge it. But looking at our children instead as blessings,
mm-hmm.
and the people in this book, and I count myself lucky to be one of them, I see my son Alex as a total blessing.
Right.
We're Catholic because of him. He enriches our lives. But getting dads to not feel a sense of disappointment, but instead to feel like, wow, I am blessed to be this child's father. That's the goal of the book. And I
sure.
think the more you go into these stories, you'll see that these men, these guys, Joe Pierce, Greg Wills, Kevin Lowery, everybody has gotten to that place, and they're the blessed ones because they feel that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that was what I was going to get to, so I'm glad you brought it up. You're listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm Marianne Jepson. My guest is Randy Hain. He is the author of Special Children, Blessed Fathers, Encouragement for Fathers of Children with Special Needs. And as Randy just said, the fathers are the blessed ones here. I know that oftentimes that's not the first thing that fathers or mothers feel when they get the word that their child has special needs. There's a sense of heartbreak and so many other things, and looking forward into the future of how will my children or child make it through this world, which is pretty difficult. We can always think ahead on these things and get so wrapped up in the future that to be able to see, as Randy just said, the blessing in the present moment is what we need to capture. You know, so talk a bit more about how, from the some of the other authors' point of view, if you can remember some of the stories too, Randy. How did their blessings appear, or how were they able to really realize those blessings in their lives? Was it immediate, or was it a process over time that turning to God was where they really began to see?
You know, I think for many of the men, and I look at the examples of a Chad Judas, David Rizzo, maybe Matthew Warner, what was really interesting to me about their stories was at the moment of diagnosis, or, you know, mm-hmm. when, you know, Matthew Warner's daughter with Down syndrome was born, the immediate just the immediate calmness, the love they felt, the conversion of heart they experienced. So it was almost an immediate thing. Others, you know, I think you might look at a Greg Willett story and his wonderful family and how over time he sort of made his peace with it. And, you know, God worked on him and now he couldn't imagine life without his children who have challenges. J.D. Flynn is the one, though. His story speaks to me in a powerful way. It's such an example of love. It's the most affirmative pro-life thing we could ever discuss. But J.D. and his wife in their 20s decided that they were going to adopt two children who had Down syndrome. And they brought these two children into their family as infants. They're now nine. So you've got these two children who've had just a plethora of health issues. But the love that J.D. and his wife feel for these children, show these children, they are their family, they are their kids. It's just an amazing testimony to love. And, you know, in a selfish world that we live in, the consumeristic world we live in, what an act of sacrifice. But if you ask them, they would not use the word sacrifice. They would say, well, of course we did. These are wonderful human beings, and we love them. I love that story. And I think in today's world, it's powerful. Yes.
You know, I have a personal story to share. I was just a couple of weeks ago, I was at a conference in the Chicago area, and I was standing in the lobby of the hotel, and all of a sudden, a young teenage girl, I feel a tap on my arm. And I turn around, and I find a teenage girl profoundly affected by Down syndrome. And she taps me and she smiles at me and she gives me a big hug. I don't know her. I don't know where she came from. And there she is with love for me. It melts my heart right now. I didn't know her parents were standing off a bit in the distance. And here is this beautiful girl tapping me with a hug. I find out that she and her parents are also attending this conference. And so this little girl or little woman now becomes a constant companion for me throughout this conference. Then she's always coming and tapping my shoulder. I don't know why I was chosen, why I was so blessed, but that girl was a gift to my life. And I wish I could have taken her from that point. And truly, truly, her parents were too. They were so beautiful. Randy, I want to switch over to, you have a chapter here, Leadership Lessons from a Child with Autism. Can you, we've got just about 3 minutes left, so can you sum that one up?
Sure. You know, as part of my just, you know, ongoing mission to try to lead as integrated a Catholic life as possible, I wanted to share with the business community that I serve as I'm a consultant and a coach that I work with. I wanted to share with them how profoundly Alex, my son, has impacted my leadership and how he has made me a better leader and business person. It's not always a tack that people take, but instead of just saying, oh, yeah, I'm a father with a son with autism, I wanted to demonstrate how deeply he's impacted my ability to be a better leader. So I wrote a piece about leadership lessons that I've gotten from Alex, and it ranges from the patience that I must show him, that I must show to my employees, to the the understanding of a greater need for diversity of thought, because Alex thinks very differently, the patience I must exhibit, all of these things came out of and still come out of my fatherhood for Alex. So that chapter is really just a reflection of my desire to show people, you know what, it's not just that, yeah, I've got a great kid, his name is Alex, but he has shaped me and made me a better person and a better husband and a better leader.
I love the seventh one that you have on the list here. I'm just going to run through them quickly. Be patient, be a clear communicator, be fair, honor commitments, celebrate diversity, speak up and get involved, and then the seventh one that I love so much, practice selfless love, which across the board, that's what we're called to when we enter the sacrament of matrimony. That's what we're called to from the moment that we first know that we are going to be a parent, when we first get the news that our child has been conceived. Practicing selfless love is what Christ did on the cross. He's our role model. He's what it's all about. And that's really where we're going to find our joy and our freedom in life, right? Despite all of the challenges that may come our way. Any final words,
Absolutely.
Randy?
Absolutely, yeah, Mary. And I would say that, for any reader of this book, and I hope that fathers and mothers who have not yet had children, who are hoping for children, if you read this book, I hope you get this from the book, that we are given a vocation as parents to love and raise our children and help ourselves and everybody that we know, but also especially our families get to heaven.
Right.
So we have been specifically chosen by God to be the parents of a child, and whatever child you get, be it a Olympic athlete or a child with severe disabilities, whatever child you have been given, it is your task to love and support and embrace that child and recognize the blessings you'll get from it. So just remember,
Indeed.
We've been given a vocation as parents, and we need to live it.
That's for sure. Randy, thanks so much for being with us today. Hope to have you back again soon, maybe when you get that next book pumped out, if not before. God bless.
Oh, my gosh. I feel the stress. God bless you as well.
All right. The stress is on. The challenge is there. Take it up, just like you did the last one. Thanks for joining us on the Family Sanctuary today. Until next time, be blessed.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancte Spiritus, Veni per Maria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your
might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.